Lo is a Vegas native that attended UNLV, graduating in 2019 with her Bachelor's of Arts in Journalism and Media Studies. During her time at UNLV, she launched Wrestling Wind Down with a fellow journalism student 5 years later. The podcast has transformed into a brand specializing in wrestling merchandise made for women, by women, while also still incorporating podcasting and social media content. Through Wrestling Wind Down, Lo has had the opportunity to speak at New York Comic Con and collaborate with platforms including Bodyslam.net, Fightful, and more. Y'all, buckle up for this conversation. I think it's so important to talk about the different folks that are in these wrestling spaces, especially some Black ladies. Here we go. Y'all, welcome Lo.
Fabulous.
Ooh, I didn't bump myself in the face. This is how we starting, y'all. I'm excited to have this conversation. I was laying down with a headache and I was like, ooh, I get to have fun talks and then lay back down. So my first question to all my guests, I think it's an easy question. Some people make a face at me, but I'll receive all of it. And it is, who are you?
I'm Lo. I am a wrestling podcaster slash merchandise maker. I'm 27 years old from Las Vegas, Nevada. Went to school at UNLV for journalism and media studies. Love to travel. I can never be in one place for too long, it seems like. Love going to wrestling shows, going to concerts, stuff like that, and trying new activities and new foods. I feel like I'm a food connoisseur, but yeah, I'm just living life. Live, laugh, love. I feel like I've been saying that a lot lately, and people think
I'm
joking.
Live, laugh, love. Don't. What?
Honestly, like, okay, I know people are like, live, laugh, love. Like, that seems like some home good shit. You know, you see it at like the home good, like the rich areas, and people are like, the women are like, oh, I love that. I'm going to hang that in my home. No, sometimes you need to say it. Live, laugh, love. That will get you through it, because sometimes you'll giggle a little bit when you say it, but you need it all.
You need okay, it all. Balance. That's fine. You know what? I need this reminder. This is why I be having people I like on here. How did we meet?
Okay, I remember I DM'd you years ago. I found you on Instagram and I was like, she looks very entertaining. Like, she looks smart. She's beautiful. I was like, I'm just going to DM her and see if I want, like, if she'd want to be on my show. I remember I sent you this DM. You were like, oh my God, yes, reach out. And then I just got so tied up with everything and never reached out to you. But I had followed you on Twitter. I kept up with you.
Then I don't remember this. This is exciting.
I'm going to have to dig through and find it. And I was like, when I followed you on Twitter, I was like, you know what? I need to have her on. Like, she is just so interesting. She brings a good perspective. You know, you have your background in mental health. And it just was so appealing to me because I went to school. My minor was in marriage and family therapy. So a lot of the things that you dabble in and you'll post are things that interest me. So I was like, well, I want to have her on the show. I want to see her perspective on things, even, you know, as a wrestling fan, but also now being in the professional wrestling sphere, helping people with mental health. So that's how we officially met. But girl, I had slid in your DMs like, wow. I think a year or two before, because I was like, I want her on my show.
No one else do it though. Don't slide my DMs. Lo is the last DM slider forever. don't follow what she did.
Yes.
Did you ever try that like anonymous question thing that everyone was doing for a minute? The way I had to delete it.
I did it years ago, and I'll never forget. There was a man that had messaged me, and he told me that he wanted to take care of me. All I had to do was send feet pics, and I did it on the Wind Down page. And I remember posting a screenshot of it, and I was like, I can't believe some people are acting like this. This is a business page. And this man DMs me, and he was like, I think he said, like, sorry that happened to you, or sorry about that. And I was like, what? And he was like, I sent that. And he was like, the offer still stands. I was like, at the time I had a boyfriend. So I was like, no, I'm okay. Like, I'm well taken care of. And he was like, let me know if you ever change your mind. I blocked him. I was like, you don't respect relationships. I'm out of here.
He doesn't. But you know what? He said he was going to respect your bank account. Okay. You know what? Let's stay focused. I don't even know why that came to my head, but I had to delete mine because people kept sending me weird messages. This was the last one. I was like, done. Share your location with me. Excuse me?
For what?
No.
So I... Are you going to share yours back? Who is this?
Oh, no, thank you.
If
you don't already have it, you don't need it.
Do you think it was someone you knew?
I don't know. No, because there were two people sending me messages at the same time. And one of them, you could tell was the same person because my friends and I were analyzing. They was like, oh, this person don't use periods, commas. They just talk. And it was like, I'm going to ask you out. And I was like, no, don't do it. Oh, no one has asked me out yet. So let's keep it that way.
People are very bold when they're anonymous.
Aren't they? Mm. Okay. What does trauma mean to you?
I feel like trauma can occur in different areas of your life. So, you know, you have a lot of people who have experienced childhood trauma. There's trauma from, you know, being in different situations like relationships or workplace trauma and stuff like that. And I've experienced trauma in different aspects of my life as well. But trauma is something that I feel like will change you as a person. It doesn't matter if it's like, you know, what some people might think as, oh, it's a small trauma. It's not that big of a deal. Or it's like a larger scale thing, right? I feel like people can't define your trauma for you. And I know that happens a lot in the media where people are like, oh my God, they had this traumatic thing happen to them. And you'll see comments under the post and people are like, well, that wasn't that bad, or get over it. You know what I mean? But you can't dictate how someone else deals with their trauma. You are the only person that can dictate and get help for it and, you know, kind of try and live with it, because I feel like you can't outlive trauma. Like, trauma stays with you. It doesn't matter how long it's been. There'll be a glimpse of something, you know, you're driving down the street or you're reading something and it might trigger something in you, and that's okay. I think a lot of people, when they go through different traumatic situations, especially like breakups and stuff, they'll be like, well, I need to be over it by a certain amount of time. And I know some people are like, well, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but they say when you break up with someone, you have to like, to the time of getting over them is like half of what you were with them or some bullshit like that. Ooh, and it's what? Like, it's some type of equation. And I'm like, that's like, why time your grief for a breakup, right? Because I mean, everyone is different. You might have been with someone for a month and you really cared about the person or whatever, and you have trauma or grief for months after that. Or you could be with someone for 5-6 years and it's like, you know, a couple months after that, you're like, you know what, I'm fine, like I'm ready to move on. So I think some people, especially like public figures, people always have an opinion. And if you're telling your business to all the world, people have an opinion, even if you're a celebrity or not. But at the end of the day, like, trauma is something that only you can really define.
We're gonna get a thing out the way that I've seen people say, like, tell everyone they need to see your mama. Okay, your mama's fine. Do people ever be like, you're not black? Where are you from? Where are you from? Do people ever ask you where you're from?
Yes. Yes. I look at the little thumbs up.
I was over there. It's because it's connected to like what is that? Zoom.
So oh, okay. Stuff
too long.
That's so weird.
It's crazy.
So I have been asked that before. I've been asked all types of stuff throughout my life. I remember being in maybe kindergarten, first grade, and I had a PE teacher who would consecutively ask me every year if my hair was real. And I would come home. Yes, I would come home and I would tell my mom, and my mom would get irritated, right? And then the one last time that the lady asked me, my mom came up to the school. Yeah, she came up to the school and she was like, do you ask everybody else if their hair is real? Quit asking my daughter that. And I was like, Mom. You know me, like, so timid. I was like, why are you talking to her like that? My mom was like, because I want her to stop asking you that question. Like, and that was kind of when I start seeing small microaggressions in my life, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, growing up as well, like, I remember in middle school, I remember this girl who I thought was my best friend had, like, made a racist comment to me. And I had went to the dean at the time. We were on a field trip. We were on a field trip to Death Valley. And my mom was there, thankfully. Girl, I don't know why the hell we were out there. It was hot as hell.
That's crazy. What? I'm concerned about the school systems.
I don't know. But the little girl made a racist comment. Yeah. She compared me to a black dog. And I remember,
your bitch, that's rude.
No, she didn't. She actually was like, that dog is like, is black and has a large nose like you. And I was like, and this was like the second time that somebody had made a comment about my nose. And I was like, okay. So I went to my mom, who was on the field trip too. And I was like, this little girl just said this to me. So we went to the dean. The dean was white. And she was like, your daughter needs to stop being so sensitive. My mom was pissed. Again, a microaggression. And I've noticed that along my life, different microaggressions. And I get a lot of, oh, are you black? Like, you know, you look like, are you sure you're black? Like, you know, what are you mixed with? Or what's your mom? What's your dad? Like, they ask so many questions. And I get being curious about stuff, but some people take it too far, right? I remember also middle school being called an Oreo. And I'm like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've experienced stuff here and there. And my mom's black, by the way, if anyone is
gorgeous
curious.
Too.
Yeah, thank you. She I'm gonna get fine, off fine. Here. I'm gonna go tell her.
You gotta tell her she's fine.
But yeah, I mean, I've grown up around black people. My dad is mixed. He's not in my life, but he's 50% white and he's 50% black. So I'm 25% white. But that, like, literally 25%, the rest is black. But it seems like that has been such a focus in a lot of the stuff growing up that I've done. I haven't really noticed that, thankfully, as an adult as much. I mostly get mistaken for as Latina, which I'm like, I don't
maybe
see
like
it.
We don't know you maybe like what
I don't see it, but other people see it, but I'm like, I'm black.
Yeah, I wanted to get that out the way because we're about to have a deep conversation that's gonna make people mad anyway. Okay. I feel it. But I wanted to get that out of the way because I have seen people, I know people always want to say like little slide comments on the intranets, you know, currently Aubrey Graham is being dragged on the internet, right?
Jesus.
That's so fun to me. So today we're really diving into like talking about being in, working in predominantly words, a white and male space, which today is, you know, little the tight parts that bring us together is wrestling.
Right.
It's a good old boy sport. If you watch Dark Side of the Ring, all of the racism that has existed historically in this sport. Why did you specifically want to talk about that today? I mean, I know why, but tell them why.
I've been in this space for about 5 years now, but like I said before, I've been in spaces where it's been predominantly white or it's been predominantly male. So growing up, I went to private religious school, and I noticed that there was a lot of white people, especially when I was in high school. I would say I was probably one of 10 black people in the whole school, and that obviously brought along other issues, but I've been in these spaces for so long, and I feel like finally, as being 27, I feel like I'm finally learning how to really navigate it. And obviously, there's times where I'm still kind of like, why would somebody say that? Or why would somebody do that? And that's their ignorance, right? I can't explore that too far before I lose my mind, right? But it has similarities to the wrestling world, because when I first started wrestling Wind Down, so I was in college when my friend and I started it. So it was me and then it was her, and she was a white woman. So when we started really exploring everything, we noticed like, well, there's no women doing wrestling podcast. And for me, it was like there was not a lot of black women in wrestling podcasting. And I was like, well, you know, let's enter this space. Let's kind of see what it's about. You know, we did our research. That's how we figured out like there was barely any women there. And I was like, we need to enter this space and, you know, do our thing. Find women that like professional wrestling. And, you know, I wasn't into wrestling like heavy when me and her first connected. So we met in college, like I said, freshman year we met. And a little bit after that, I think it was like maybe junior year, I saw her tweet about wrestling. And I was like, she likes wrestling? Like, I was trying to start getting back into it because I would see tweets here and there, and I saw her tweet about it, and I was like, So we had the conversation. This was when Call Her Daddy was coming out, so it was a long time ago. And she was like, hey, you know, I think we should do a wrestling podcast. And I was like, well, I don't really know about podcasts. So that's when we started doing our research. And I was like, we need a niche. And I was like, She was a beer drinker. I don't drink beer. I don't.
I know you drink wines.
I drink wine.
And other things.
Yes, tequila.
A little tequila. I know.
But I was like, what if we did wine, wrestling wine down? You have SmackDown, wine down, and that was just, the rest was history. We started out just us two doing the show, talking about the different, you know, shows that were happening in wrestling. And then she ended up stepping away about a year in. And I remember being at kind of like a crossroads. I was like, well, like, do I want to continue it? Like, it's only a year old. I was like, it's going to be a lot of work. And I had even played with the idea of getting another co-host. And I wanted another Black woman as a co-host, or someone of color, you know, Mexican, Latina, Black, anything, right? Because I had experienced, you know, working with a white woman, and that was no problem. But I wanted a little bit more seasoning to it.
Sure.
And I met Iridian, and she was on my show once, and we became very close after that. And we have a segment now called Chardonnay and Cheese Man. It's, you know, us just being us, you know, having those conversations about wrestling and having fun and just girl talk, you know what I mean? But I have really focused on, with my platform as a whole, spotlighting women, spotlighting Black women. If you go through and you look at the people that I've interviewed, I think I've interviewed less than 10 men. And that's not an accident. That's on purpose. I think that a lot of these podcasters within our space are open to collaborate, but you rarely see them collaborate with women. Who knows why that is? I can guess, but I want women to have a platform where they feel comfortable to talk about wrestling. And it doesn't matter if they just became a fan yesterday or they've been a fan for 20 years. I want them to feel comfortable and not be questioned or mansplained to when they might not know something that happened on the June 24th, 1997 edition of Monday Night Raw. Because, you know, men be like, name five matches that happened on that show.
I can't because I have a life. Get one.
I can't because I was 5 months old. Like,
I'm like, I was definitely alive. I'm elder. But what? I was watching it then, though, because I was 10. How did you find wrestling? Like, what was your gateway? I can remember the first time I found wrestling. What was yours?
I was at my grandma's house, so I'm very close to my grandparents, and I was at my grandma's house, and I was upstairs in one of her rooms, and I was flipping through the TV, and I landed on the Spanish channel and saw John Cena, and I was like, what is this? I start watching, and I don't speak Spanish, so I'm watching it, and and side note, I don't speak Spanish, so that should really tell you that I am not a Latina, okay?
I know plenty of Latinas that don't speak Spanish.
Same. But when people ask me, they're like, are you Latina? And then they'll send like a Spanish sentence. I'm like, what do you want me to do with this?
Why would you send this? It's like a test.
I don't know. But I was flipping through the channel, saw John Cena, and I was like, huh. So I start watching it and obviously don't know what they're saying, but I can tell what's going on just based on the actions, you know, stuff like that. And I remember the next week went back and watched it again. And then I was, you know, curious. I was like, well, let me look this up. Let me see what channel it comes on in English. Obviously, it came on USA Network. And I started watching it from there. I just was so captivated by the storytelling, the different characters of the superstars. I was, you know, happy to see women. But I also was like, well, where are the women who aren't white and blonde and look like fitness models or Playboy models? Like, where are women that look like me at? But I continued watching. And then I remember Crystal Marshall was kind of in the mix. You know, she was a backstage interviewer. She had maybe a handful of matches. But like, there weren't a lot of Black women when I first started watching. And then Alicia came along. And then you had Naomi, Sasha. Now you have Bianca and Jade and still Naomi there. And, you know, the women in NXT. And it's so exciting to watch professional wrestling as a Black woman now, because there is that representation that is there that wasn't there when I started watching when I was 9 or 10.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm an Attitude Era girl. But really, keep it a buck, I was a WCW girl.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was over there with the big boys play. I was over there in my red and black NWO, because Sting, okay, black and red, Kevin Nash back, you know, those days. Wrestling, as I said before, has been like historically a male space.
Yeah,
it's been like historically a white male space. Did that ever stop you, like in the early days when you were looking looking at wrestling and you were like, here's my niche, and you saw all these people, did that ever make you go, I don't know if this is, will they, kind of things?
No, because I knew that there were other women that watched professional wrestling that probably didn't have, you know, a platform that they could go to that was ran by a woman. You can only listen to men talking about wrestling for so long. Like, you really can. Unless you are captivating and you have, like, a good voice and you're knowledgeable and you're fun, I can't listen to you for too long. And I feel like other women feel the same way. For me, it's like, I want to see somebody that looks like me talking about something that I enjoy. I mean, you know, obviously we're from two different walks of life, but at the end of the day, we're both women who enjoy professional wrestling. And, you know, when we were getting into it, like I said, we did our research. I would remember being on Instagram, watching videos and seeing men at their kitchen table with bottles of tequila on the table while they were recording. And it wasn't a sponsorship either. It was half empty tequila bottles. And I was like, this is what the women have to look at? Like, it wasn't it. And that, if anything, that pushed me even further to want to do it. And I just knew, I was like, you know, let's just give it a try. Because like I said, podcasting was still fairly new. And I know for sure those wrestling girls have been around for a quick minute. Those were the only women that I had found at that point. I found different people in the community like Kalia Page. I had found Alexis Littlefoot on Twitter and followed them, but they weren't podcasters. You know, they were just women, Black women specifically, who enjoyed watching professional wrestling. And I think I tweeted like 2 weeks ago, like that is kind of how I got back in the mix of being on wrestling Twitter. I wasn't really in it when I was like younger. Like I think I had a Twitter just to kind of see what was happening on Raw or SmackDown. You know what I mean? But wasn't into the spoilers or anything like that. But once I was an adult, I was kind of like, let me see what this IWC is about and start looking stuff up. And I found Alexis and then I found Kalia and I was like, okay, well, there's women in this community that look like me. And that also motivated me to want to do Wrestling Wind Down even more, because it's like, well, these women, I'm sure they would enjoy a podcast or a platform that they can go and look at and feel like, oh, okay, well, you know, she looks like me. I can relate to her in that way and grow from there.
One of the things I always ask women that like attend wrestling shows, that are wrestling fans, something that comes up often, I think, for all of us is safety. Because we're talking about the trauma within. Like, sure, we can navigate all these spaces, but I think that there's such an heightened safety awareness that we have to have.
Right.
Have you had to put any measures in play, or have you experienced any of that?
I have not, but I've had friends that have. And one experience that my friend had, and I tweeted this years ago when it first happened because I was fired up. I think it's my moon sign. I think my moon sign might
be. What is
it? I think it's a Scorpio.
Oh.
What's
your big three? You don't know your big three?
I don't know my big three. I used to have the little app, but I deleted it.
The queers need it. We need to know
Aquarius, Scorpio, and then something else. I'll let you know. But
okay, thank you.
I remember my friend had gone to a wrestling event. I think it was her first one. And it was an AEW event. And she was so excited. And she had posted a picture in real time of her holding her sign at her seat. And I remember she told me that not even 30 minutes after that, this guy comes up to her who follows her on social media. He had found her based on the photo that she had posted.
Real time. I want to pause you. I need y'all to take note to what she just said in real time. Like, that is a safety thing that we talk about. Like, if you're going to post something, girl, post it later. It's okay. It will still exist because of literally what you're saying.
Yeah. So, you know, she was nice to him, obviously, but she was very uncomfortable. Her husband was there with her too. And she was like, he had my husband take the photo of us. I was like, that's strange. Like, that's so odd. So I remember she told me, and, you know, this gentleman or this boy, because he looked more like a boy to me, but he, you know, had been in my DMs. He had been in other people's DMs asking to be on our platforms. And it was continuous too. It was like every couple months he'd be like, oh, I'd love to talk about wrestling. And I would just ignore it because I'm like, I know you're creepy. Like, I'm not interested in anything like that. And then I forgot what tipped me off, but I just went on a rant and I was like, look, when women go to professional wrestling shows, we are not looking to be seeked out. Like, if we post a picture in real time for some specific reason, we are not looking for you to come to our seats and do a free meet and greet. Like, that's not what we're doing here. Now, it's different if, you know, I'm in line for a glass of wine or a hot dog or something like that, and I run into you, great, I'll be nice. But if you're seeking somebody out at a public event that you guys have not planned to meet at, or we don't run into each other, that's weird. And I think a lot of men, because I've, to be honest with you, I have never seen in my observation, I haven't seen this happen between woman and woman. I've seen it only happen with men and women, and men are the perpetrators. I don't know what needs to be done, but like, I need men to read the room, because this happens so often where women just feel uncomfortable at these shows. It doesn't matter if it's an indie show or it's a big, you know, major company. Women should feel comfortable going to these shows. They shouldn't have to worry about if they wear a certain thing to a wrestling show that a man is going to say something to them, yeah, or if they cheer, act a certain way at a wrestling show, a man is going to say something to them. Like, I'm sorry, I'm quick to tell a man to shut the fuck up at a wrestling show. I don't care. I don't care. Yeah. I think that at some point, women also need to stand up for themselves. I know it can be a little bit scary at times, and you also have to gauge the situation.
Yeah, that part.
I usually will go to a wrestling show with somebody else. Like, I will not go by myself, because I don't feel comfortable. Same. I feel like if something were to happen, like, I would just freeze up. I would just said I'll say shut the fuck up to a man, but
that's your trauma response. Cause I've seen it get quick and yes, it's like you are trying to protect yourself and get away. And then they're talking, yeah, like it's a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, I've seen a lot of, you know, banding together from women online, which makes me really happy to see. You know, I've seen different people be like, hey, if I'm at a wrestling show and you're there by yourself, like, don't hesitate to come up to me. Like, I'll stand with you, or we can hang out together. And I think that's great. You know, there are some women that feel comfortable, that feel safe enough to go to these wrestling shows, and they should. But also, I think at the same time, it's great to have somebody there, you know, even if you guys don't come together, but you know that they're there in case you need something, or you feel some type of way, or you just like don't feel comfortable in the space you're in, where you can go to them and say, hey, can I stand with you for a couple minutes? Like, I'm just not feeling it. And there's no questions asked unless you want to share that information with them.
Yeah. I podcast before this, talking with Cher Delaware, she has been doxxed. She has been like aggressively harassed because she didn't agree with someone's wrestling opinion, which is wild to me and leads me to wanting to talk to you about social media in one capacity, but also what really got me back into wrestling and like got me to do this work that I'm doing now. I was into wrestling before, but hashtag speaking out, that really, you know, when we talk about like, oh, my worlds collide, this is never where I wanted my world to collide. Mm-hmm. And I think when that happened, that's when I really found, because it was also the pandemic, I found all of these women in wrestling. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, but it was also so bad. So how was it for you in like being, you know, working in the space already and then seeing it on Twitter? Because we was on Twitter together. Like,
right.
It was wild.
It was wild. And it's wild that I still see some stuff retweeted from speaking out. Because different things arise and people want to remind you like, hey, that person over there did this, you know, a couple years ago, please remember it. So I do appreciate social media in that aspect, that once you were called out for speaking out, like that is something that people are going to remember, because you should be held accountable for your actions. There are certain individuals who have been called out who, in my opinion, have not like addressed the accusations that were made against them, but they just live life like nothing happened. And it's like, like I said earlier, you can't define someone else's trauma. Some of these things that have happened to these people could literally change the entire pace of their lives. And the fact that these perpetrators are out here, you know, living life, doing whatever they want to do, still wrestling, etc., I can only imagine how the female victims feel, male victims, however you identify. It has to be hard. And I feel like, especially with social media nowadays, it's like shit pops up all over the place. You know what I mean? Absolutely. You could be living your life and you see somebody who has made you feel uncomfortable, who has had you feel this trauma. And, you know, I was thinking about it the other day because I had seen something that was retweeted from somebody that's currently in a major company that had spoke out during that time. And it had to do with the guy that had perpetrated her, but people were retweeting it, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, I can only imagine, you know, going on Twitter when you haven't been on there all day and you see that that tweet has started to gain traction again. Like, that takes you back to that trauma that you experienced when you, A, it happened to you, and B, that nervousness, that fear of sharing it with your entire, you know, timeline, everybody at that point.
It's and that's the cool part, right? Like, social media is a good platform if it's used right. Twitter is, because I'm not calling it that letter. Twitter is used as a good platform. Like, Instagram can be used as a good platform. But also, speaking of the good girlfriend trauma, it's pretty fucking traumatic. Like, I have seen, again, people being doxxed, people being harassed, people being called all kinds of names, and like, I've seen people go, I can't take this anymore. I have to leave this space. And it is, you know, being a woman in this space, you get it so bad.
Yeah.
Like, you really do. You can't have the wrong opinion.
Nope. And say you don't know something. Oh, shit. You're not a real fan. I've experienced that all throughout. It hasn't been a lot, but I've noticed probably within the last 3 years, I've gotten a lot of men who will say sly stuff or try and come at me appearance wise or knowledge wise. And sometimes I might be feeling froggy. I might jump and go right back at them. But I'm trying to start learning how to just block and let it rest because a lot of these people are miserable at the end of the day. They see somebody who, you know, appreciates wrestling or is confident or doing whatever, and they think, I'm going to get them today. I'm going to say some stupid shit on their timeline. And they think that it triggers you. But again, it might be that moon sign. For me, I'm like, who are you? Let me explore your page a little bit. What you got going on? You know what I mean? Like, let's see what's going on here. And like I said, I have really tried to cut back on that because I feel like there was an instance, I think like 2 months ago, where I posted a picture and this dude was like on my ass. Like, I didn't know who he was. And I tweeted him back and I just left it at that. And I went on maybe a couple hours later and I saw how many people had responded to him. And I was like, oh, Jesus. And he had privated his account and everything. But it shouldn't have to come to that. It shouldn't have to come to, you know, people that know me or people that follow the brand to go and say like, hey, dude, like, what the hell are you talking about? Don't say stuff like that. You are miserable and you shouldn't be taking it out on someone that you, A, don't know or follow. And B, like, this is none of your business. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? And that's just a small extent. I've seen other women go through some horrible stuff, and it's these trolls, it's these men who think that they know everything. And it's like, why? What satisfaction does that give you? Like, you are truly messing someone else's day up. And what are you doing after? Heading back to the basement to go watch Raw from 1992 with your, you know, Tostito, what are they? I don't know. Pizza rolls that your mom warmed up in the microwave. Like, just relax. Like you said, social media can be a good tool. I've learned so much on social media. I've made friends, you know, I've made business partners, stuff like that. But at the same time, I've had those experiences where I'm like, well, damn, that person was kind of foul, or why did he say that to me, or why'd she block me? You know what I mean? And it's like, I feel like a lot of people take social media very seriously. And I feel like at this point in my life, I'm like, you know what? We're going to have fun. Like, if you say something to me that makes me feel some type of way, if I want to jump, we'll jump. If not, I'm just going to block you. But at the end of the day, I'm there to learn. I'm there to read. I'm there to see what the cheese man is about. I'm not there to go back and forth with Brad in New Hampshire.
Not Brad. It'd be a Brad too, don't it? It'd be a Brad. You'd be like, now you knew. You shouldn't have came over here, Brad. It's so, you know, I also have this conversation like with the wrestlers when they get upset. I'm like, is that person real? Can they affect you? Like, sure. But really, they want to be you. They want to be in your shoes. They clearly are not happy with themselves or what they have going on, because most people that are happy with what they got going on could care less about what you're doing. And also, they will never do what you do. No one is doing 450 splashes, baby, but you. Like, it's not them. And that, I do find that so interesting. Like, when I do go to wrestling shows, Like, I feel like I have to, I don't know about you, but I feel like when I go to wrestling shows that I have to put on like this invisible armor that I'm like, as I mean, if I'm at work, well, no, I still wear it. I always have some leather on. So I feel like leather is a flagging. I got some boots on in case, I always tell my friends, in case we need to kick somebody in the throat. I think there's just like a, like this, maybe it's because I am a trauma survivor that I just feel like I need to at least fake it till I make it. So no one even tries me. So we don't have to be that angry Black woman at the show.
Yes. I feel like my RBF is to the extreme when I go to shows.
I feel like it's amazing. I gotta get back tight.
I just, because I've noticed, like, I have gone to a show with one of my friends and my cousin one time, and they kept, you know, getting approached by different people, and I was kind of like, my face must look real mean, like, because I'm just over here, like, because I mean, I want people to come up to me if they know me, absolutely, let's have a conversation, but I feel like sometimes when you look too eager, like, my cousin, that was her first wrestling show she had ever gone to, this is a hoot. The first wrestling show she had ever gone to, I convinced her to go to a GCW show, and she was kind of like,
I love taking my friends, especially beautiful women, to GCW shows. It's so fun to watch them.
So she, you know, she, like I said, she knows about wrestling, but she doesn't watch frequently, you know?
Yeah.
So we go, we're standing up, we're having a good time, and remember, this guy comes up to her, and I kind of, RBF, I look, and I'm like, and he's drunk out of his mind, drunk, hammered, gone, and his friends are standing behind him. They don't tell him, like, yo, bro, you need to back up, like, you just need to stop.
Check your friends.
He's over here hitting on her and flirting with her and trying to get her number, and I'm standing up there, like, I'm watching, but I'm like trying to also not watch too hard, but I'm still watching. So when he walks away, I said, what the hell was that? And she was like, he asked me for my number. And she was like, I gave it to him. I said, girl, if you should have given him a fake number. I said, did you find him cute? She's like, no. I was like, why then? I said, you don't have to give these people your number. Like, if you are uncomfortable or he made you feel some type of way, don't, you know what I mean? Don't do that. She never did it again. And she said he did text her, but she never texts back. I said, I know that's right. But like, you have, like, I feel like for me, that RBF, that's what comes in handy. Because then people that want to try it, they don't.
Yeah. You know, we just want to watch the show.
Just
I came to watch the show.
Just like them.
I just came to, I too like wrestling. That's why I also have a ticket and a seat. I didn't come to make friends. I brought friends to watch the show.
The thing that kills me is when I go to stuff, like wrestling stuff, and there's a man there and they'll be like, yo, you like wrestling? No, I was just in the fucking neighborhood and decided to walk my ass in here and just chill. I was at the Hebe in San Antonio, Texas with my friends for Royal Rumble weekend. We went to go meet Drew McIntyre, and we're all excited. We get in there. The line's fucking long as hell. So we're in the line. We're having a good time. And the guys in front of us, it was two guys, and I noticed they kept kind of looking back at us, but they weren't saying anything. So at one point, one of the guys kind of leans back and kind of looks at me, and he goes, hey, you know, you're here. Like, do you like wrestling? And I just kind of looked at him and I said, yeah. I remember I tweeted about it too, because I was like, why would I be standing in a line for 2 hours? Which we didn't end up even meeting him because the line was so long. Yeah. But I'm like, I've been standing in this line for 2 hours and you're asking me if I like wrestling. I didn't come here to grocery shop.
I just wanted to stand next to strangers.
And my friends are kind of like watching the whole thing go down, because I think he said something else to me after that, or he tried to, and I was like the fucking AOL box. I was like, you have logged out. Like, I was gone. We do not need to have this conversation, because you've already asked me something that was not the brightest. But my friends were like, did he really just ask you that? And I was like, yes, he did. Why? But it goes back to the thing with men asking, like,
oh, you like wrestling? Like, name five matches.
Like,
why do I need validation from you?
Exactly. And I think I asked this question last week. I said, why do men go to resort to calling women out of their name when they don't agree with them in terms of wrestling? Now, this could happen anywhere, but I've noticed specifically in the wrestling space, when you start going back and forth with a man, it doesn't even have to be anything like aggressive or anything like that. But if they seem to think that you know more than them, that's when you become a bitch. And it's like, okay.
If I get on the internet right now and say Bryan Danielson is the best wrestler alive.
Girl.
Drag.
Delete the app and throw the phone out the window because you
Daniel Garcia is thriving. Dragged.
Like, okay, you might not get dragged too hard for that one because girls love him.
A mess. But like, it is so interesting to be in a space that is so fun.
Yeah. And
for me, when I look at wrestling, it's about art. I think it's creative. Like when I take my friends, they'll be like, why did I come? And I'm like, shh, wait, get you a little cocktail. And then like it goes and they're like, oh, it's like dancing. And I'm like, yes. And if you have a good dance partner, we're going to have a good match, baby. Mm-hmm. And my friends are like, will you take me back?
Oh,
can we go again? And I'm like, yeah, but don't wear heels again, girl. We gotta move. It was a, and again, I take my friends to GCW shows because I feel like if you can,
because if you start at the top, you can lower it.
Thank you. GCW. Yep. Listen, I took one of my friends and she was like, I think there's blood on me. And I said, yep. Ooh! Yep. Yep. She got blood on her shoes. And oh, I said, God. Yep. And she was like, I'm going to keep this. I said, girl, hepatitis. What do you mean? No. What has it been like to create your pathway in this space, like particularly for yourself in, you know, like having all these other folks that have been around you and like seeing the work that they have done? What has it been like specifically for you?
It's been exciting. Being able, well, first of all, when I first started, it was just so exciting, right? This was something I had never done before. I had done radio in college. I had a little thing called the Lowdown on my college radio station where I would talk about hip hop and R&B. So I had a little bit of experience behind the mic, but I wasn't talking about sports. So the fact that I was able to talk about professional wrestling, something that I had, you know, liked as a child and was liking again, it was exciting for me. And I was able to incorporate, you know, I was in PR for a while, so I was able to incorporate some of the stuff that I had learned in that field into my business with the social media, the marketing, stuff like that. And to be honest with you, I feel like I really found my stride about 2 years ago. I think the first 3 years was just really like learning, you know, who my audience was, how to cater to them, you know, who I should have on my podcast, when to do podcasts, like trying to figure out like the essentials and line them up. And I feel like the last 2 years, I've really felt like, you know what, this is where exactly where I needed to be. I feel like I have the individuals business-wise as well as friend-wise that motivate me to continue and, you know, motivate me in general. Like, you know, I mentioned Iridian earlier. Iridian is on the Rest Friends podcast. She created that podcast with her cousin Teddy, but she also does the Fightful Post show. Like, Iridian motivates me. And it's just so exciting to see her path and my path and how we're able to do stuff together, but we're also able to do stuff separately and just completely slay it. I think about Casey Leando. She's over the moonsault. She's also a close friend of mine. Her creative mind, her visions for cosplays and stuff and how much work goes into it. She motivates me. I don't even cosplay, but the fact that she is so focused on her craft and she's continuously trying to be better and trying to, you know, craft these looks out of, you know, stuff that she finds at Goodwill, stuff that she, you know, sews herself. It's just, it's so motivating. And, you know, I've met a bunch of other different people. I've met you. I can list off a bunch of people. I've met so many individuals who are just so passionate about the different, you know, pockets of the community that they're in. And I think what I've noticed, you know, in the last couple of years is it seems like a lot of people think it's a competition, especially when it comes to doing media at these different press scrums, which I don't, you know, I haven't dived into on my end, but like people think it's a competition. And I feel like there is legitimately room for everyone at this table. Roman Reigns built a very long table that he is the head of, and I think there is a seat for all of us at it. I don't think there needs to be any competition. I think everybody has their own abilities and strengths and weaknesses that we can really grow this community if we just stop, you know, throwing shade or doing stuff like that, like genuinely just be a good person, you know, and motivate others and help where you can. Like, I am huge on if I see something where I think somebody would benefit from it. And this is me personally, as well as with Wind Down, I'll send it to them and I'll be like, hey, I thought this was a good opportunity for you. And I think a lot of people don't do that. I think if they see an opportunity that maybe they can, you know, capitalize on, they'll just keep it for themselves. They won't send it to other people. But that it's just not me. Like, I'm a girl's girl. I want everybody to thrive.
You know, people like us that want other people to thrive, and this we might have to cut this depending on the vibes. Wanting other people to vibe and also being the blueprint, we get our shit stolen.
Oh, fuck. You know, it's interesting.
Yes. Tell me about interesting.
I was at WrestleCon a month ago, and yes, I had somebody who had told me, they were like, didn't your shirt design get stolen? And I was like, how do you know that? And it was a wrestler. And I was like, that shows how fast word travels, because there's no way that this person would have known that, right? In this community, like I said, I think there's room for everybody. But I also think at the same time, respect those people that have created those ideas that you might find appealing, right? I've had my stuff stolen. I've had people claim that they have created the blueprint of my brand. It's popular designs that I've done.
Your whole brand?
Not my whole brand, but some of my merchandise.
Sure.
And I look at it and I laugh because I do everything myself. And Iridian loves to, you know, whenever we do joint podcasts, she always gets some type of opportunity to be like, Lo does everything herself. But I truly do. Iridian is like my second set of eyes, but all the merch designs are me. I design everything. I, you know, get the stuff printed. I obviously, you know, work with printers and stuff like that. But all of that is me. The podcast is me. The scheduling, the agendas, the social media, everything is me. And when I see somebody take my idea or claim like, oh, that shirt that she has out, like, you wouldn't have had it without me. It's like, really? That's interesting. That's, you know what I mean? The audacity. But, you know, at the end of the day, I know the truth. And when I see stuff like that, I do stand up for myself. And I let it be known, like, this was my design, you know, be respectful, take it down, you know, credit me while you take it down. But other individuals don't move like that. They'll keep the stuff up. They'll try and sell it even though there's a name misspelled on it. I mean, more power to you if you want to sell something with a misspelled name. But at the root of it, I feel like a lot of people who are creative, like very creative. I was literally just reading something before I logged in with you. And this brand that I follow on Instagram had their stuff stolen, and they're very popular. They're not within the wrestling space, but they're very popular. And the amount of support they received was very heartwarming, but I could feel the frustration in the post that they posted. I could relate to that. You know what I mean? You built something that you're so proud of. You put all your time and effort and energy and money into it for somebody so easily to just try and take it, whether it's your username, your design, your branding, whatever. It makes you feel some type of way. And I know a lot of people, when they see stuff like that, they want to just be like, you know what? Wash my hands of it. I'm done. But you have to think, wow, I must be doing something right if this person is trying to copy exactly what I did. So that's kind of the way I look at it. Obviously, I get irritated because I work very hard, but I'm like, well, hey, the idea must be good since you copied it, but you need to take it down.
I believe in karma. One time I worked with this girl and she was like, let's do this thing. She also worked in, because you know, my background is trauma. She also worked in trauma, and she was like, well, let's try to put this pitch together. And I was like, oh my God, yes. I was new in the industry. I was 28. Again, mama will be 37 soon. And I was like, oh my God, yes. And then she was like, oh, it didn't go through. Tell me why. I was flipping through the telly. It was back in the, you know, a few years ago. And I saw my work word for word on MTV. Word for word. And I've been working on myself. This is also, you know, this why, you know, wrestlers, if you're listening, this why you can come to me working about anger. Because I worked on my anger. And then I said, you know what? She gonna get what she got coming to her. And when I say, the universe said, we got you, girl. Not gonna say what happened to her, but I haven't seen her in a while. I haven't seen none of her work in quite some time. And you know, there's the idea of like, do you confront when someone steals your things, or you just let the universe handle it? It depends on the day. But also, you will never deliver it the way I'm going to deliver it. So you go ahead with your little half-assery.
Exactly.
Oh, see, let me stop because I'm getting upset again. I'm going to go check and see what happened to her. No, I'm working on myself, y'all. What does community mean to you? Because you've mentioned that word multiple times in our conversation today. What does community mean to you, and what does it look like for you?
Community are the people that you surround yourself with, whether it's on a personal level, whether it's on a professional level. Everyone needs a community. I know some people think like, oh, I can do everything, you know, myself in terms of, you know, going through stuff or experiencing stuff. But like, you need a community. It doesn't matter who you are. Everybody needs one. And I'm very lucky that I found my community within wrestling pretty early on. I would say within the first 3 years, you know, I have found Iridian. I think I was a year in, and then I found Casey as well. Teddy, I found her, and then Mario. And then I have some other friends that, you know, I consider a part of my community. It's people that I can go to and that they know that they can come to me, and we could just have a conversation and we could be there for each other. And I think it's important to have, you know, different parts of your community. So like, for instance, my personal community might not be the same as my professional community. But at the same time, I do have elements where they do blend. But community is just so important. I feel like, especially in a space where, you know, it is predominantly men, it is so important to have other women in your community as well, so that you can, you don't feel alone. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's been very awesome to see that there is a community on Twitter and on these different social media websites, and, you know, seeing these people hang out together and have a good time together and just be able to just vibe and just have a good time. It makes me happy to see. And I'm not even in their community, but it makes me happy to see people that are just like together, you know, in a community. And it's like, they can go to those people if they have problems or if they have questions or, hey, I went through this, like, how did you navigate it type stuff. And
yeah,
it's been interesting to see from my end, you know, different people within the community that I wouldn't consider in my personal or my professional community, but I might reach out to them with a question. They're very helpful. Even though, again, you're not in my close community, it shows that you know how to be a good person. And that's what I also think is important in IWC, which I feel like is sometimes difficult because some people are a little bit not willing to help. They want to keep everything for themselves, or they kind of want to do their thing, which is fine. But there comes a time where you need other people. There's a time where you have questions that you can't just Google. You have to ask somebody who has been through a certain experience, whether it was the exact same thing or similar. You need those people. And it's also important to love on your community. This is my biggest pet peeve, is people continually just taking, and they don't give back.
Yep.
And I feel like that is so important to have within your community, is don't always just take from people. Like, you know, oh, you're giving me free stuff, you know, I'm just gonna keep taking it. But then when I need something, it's like, oh, well, you know, I charge this much, or I do this, or hey, like, I can't talk right now. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, they're not willing to help you. And it's like, well, damn, like, I've given you my last, I've stopped what I was doing to help you. Like, why is it not reciprocated? Like, it's so important to reciprocate, I feel like, in every single relationship that you have. If you are with someone, whether it's a romantic relationship, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a business partnership, whatever, if you feel like your actions are not being reciprocated, what are you doing? I feel like this is turning into a marriage and therapy, marriage and family therapy
session.
Here's
the thing. It always will. It always will. Because I think there's also the idea of just like relationships, right? Like, there's a lot of people we know that have been started, you know, ooh, let's run that back. Chris, cut that out. I sound wild. There are a lot of people that we know that have met in this community are now partnered together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, marriages, babies, dating, breakups, all the things. But right. Like, it's important to have these conversations and to also know that community is expansive.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I also love when you say you got to pour back in. Pour back in as you take out, because people notice. You might think, oh, I'm just getting away with stuff. Like, people notice the way that you move.
Yeah.
And people talk. This is also a reminder. You think you slick, but people talk.
Yes.
The group chats are chatting.
They're chatting. They're yapping away.
The amount of times I'll text Lo, girl, did you see this? What is happening? Like, quick, But you know, honestly, it's a voice note. Let's be real. Yes. What have been the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows of being in this industry for you?
I would say some of the highs that I've experienced was speaking at New York Comic Con. I was on a panel about 2 years ago. It was all Black women panel. We had wrestlers. We had journalists. We had content creators. We had podcasters. And like I said, I really didn't feel like I found my groove until about 2 years ago. So when I, you know, when I had the opportunity to do that, like I was just over the moon. I was like, oh my God, New York Comic Con. And I was in New York for like 28 hours. My mom went with me. My friend Rachel, also known as Twitterless Rachel on Twitter, came down from Boston or came up from Boston to hear me speak and stuff like that. That's someone that is within my, I would say, my personal community, because she likes wrestling, but she's not deep in it. You know what I mean? But that was a huge accomplishment for me. The merch has been a huge accomplishment. Like, when I first started doing the merch, my first design was the Wine 316. I was just having fun with it. I was just like, let's see how many sell and let's go from there. And then I had the Bad Bitches Love Wrestling. Did I have that one shortly after that? I know I had the Black Wrestling Queens, which is the one that was stolen. But I had a Bad Bitches Love Wrestling shirt. And then from there, I was like, hey, you know what? Let me think about customizing this. And it just blossomed. You know, I started with Ricky Starks and then I had Daniel Garcia. I had Hook for a while and I've done customs and stuff like that. And it is just so crazy to be watching AEW or WWE or any, you know, promotion. And I see my design or I run into someone with my design. And I like every single time I'm like starstruck, like I didn't design the shit, but it's just, it's so crazy for someone else to be wearing it. Yeah. And women feel so, women and men and all genders feel so confident when they're wearing this stuff. And that's what makes me happy as well. Like, I love podcasting. I think it's so amazing to get to know people and have those conversations and, you know, learn stuff about them that you wouldn't necessarily know from, like, you know, reading their bio or going on their Twitter. But like, there's just something about being able to make merch for people who don't want to buy from the major companies, especially women who feel like, stuff that they're making is not for the females. Like, we want something that is pink or has hearts on it or, you know, purple. And it's like, I feel like I know that because I've been in that situation where it's like, well, damn, I want to wear a shirt from so and so, but like all their merch is like manly looking. I don't relate to it. Like, I want something that I can relate to. And I remember I had made the 1-800 War Daddy. That was like the first one where everyone was like, oh, we love it. That was the, I think that was the first one that like really took off. And then it was the Ricky one after that. But that was one, again, it was Drake inspired, which is funny because you mentioned Drake earlier, but it was Drake inspired Hotline Bling. You know, everyone loved Wardlow at the time. He was everybody's man crush Monday or whatever was going on at that time. So everyone loved it. And it had the pink. It was girly. And I was like, no one's doing this. Like, and I have merch too where, you know, I've worn it a lot and it is female geared, but you look around and there's not a lot. Like, most of the stuff has like the dark green or the black, you know, everyone talks about the all black t-shirts and stuff like that. But
I have so many black t-shirts in my closet.
Where is the merch for the women? Like, women are watching professional wrestling. They need to be represented properly, whether it's merch, whether it's you really thinking about, hey, we have women watching. What is something that they would gravitate towards? And I feel like AEW does a good job with that with their heels group. Like, you have been able to create this group of women from all over the world who love professional wrestling. They might have other interests in common as well, but professional wrestling has brought them together. And I think it's so amazing that they did that. And I'm actually pretty surprised that another company didn't do that beforehand, but it just shows, like, women are here. They need their merch. They need these communities within each, you know, within the professional wrestling world where they can be comfortable, where they can meet other women and they can have a good time. Trying to think of any other accomplishments. I designed a shirt for Jake something way early on. And that was pretty cool because I had just drawn something up after I had met him for the first time. It was like, hey, what about, you know, you had mentioned something like this on the timeline. What about this? And it's still on his pro wrestling tee store.
That's cool.
It is cool. I was fangirl and I was like, oh my God, I just, and it still has Wrestling Wine Down on it and everything. And pretty cool experience. Honestly, anytime I'm able to go to like a bigger wrestling show is an accomplishment, because I look back a couple years ago, like I wouldn't have been going to all these wrestling shows. Like I wasn't traveling the way that I am now. So yeah, it is an accomplishment that I'm able to A, go with a group of people that I've built a community with, and B, have a good time and see the rest of the world and travel and stuff like that. Lows would be people not being original. I would say that's been a low for me. Just trying to navigate it, because I don't like confrontation at all. But I realized that as a business owner, you know, you have to have these difficult conversations. You have to stand up for yourself, because if you don't stand up for yourself, who the hell else is going to do it? Mm-hmm. I think another low was definitely when my co-host has stepped away, because I was like, you know, at a crossroads. I was like, should I continue this? Like, I just felt so nervous to take on something so that I know could be so big at the time. And you know, I'm glad that I continued it, but I think back sometimes, I'm like, damn, like, could you imagine if I would have just been like, you know what, I'm not gonna do it anymore. Like, I wouldn't have gotten into the merch. I wouldn't have met a lot of people that, you know, I'm friends with now, that, you know, I work with now and stuff like that. So I think everything happens for a reason, and I'm glad that I chose to continue. But I, like I said, I sometimes think back and I'm like, damn, like, what if I really would have just been like, you know what, if she doesn't want to do it anymore, I'm not gonna do it either. Like, my whole life would be completely different.
Yeah. Well, this is, tell us all about Wrestling Wind Down. Tell us, do you just have shirts? Tell us all the business so people can know where to go.
Yes. So shop.wrestlingwinddownlv.com. I have t-shirts. I have long sleeves. I have hoodies. I have tanks. I have dad hats. I have trucker hats. I have a plethora of items, and I am looking forward to releasing a lot more in the summer. These are designs that are for the girlies by the girlies, but honestly, anybody could wear them. Sure. Like I said, we have the bad bitches, we have the pinks, the purples, everything girly that you can think of, I feel like is probably on there, or it will be on there in the future. Because when I design stuff, I think about, would I wear it? That's the first question I always ask is, would I wear it? If I look at something after I design it and I'm like, it goes like, because I have to be confident in what I'm selling. And it's been so amazing to see people from all over the world. I was looking at my stats the other day. I have 11 states left to sell merch to, and I'm like, that's insane. But like I said, definitely looking forward to the upcoming months. I've been able to have some great partnerships with different people in the community, like Heel Liz, Mel from Lucha X Lucha podcast. I've had Casey Liendo. I've had Iridian Fierro. I've had Vanessa from SF. I think her username is. I hope I didn't get that wrong. I've had Kalia Page, which was a nice little tie-in, because I did mention that that's how I kind of got back into the wrestling community. And I've had other, you know, people involved as well, but it's been so amazing to be able to see them put their own spin on these shirts that I've designed, and how many people love the shirts or want their own, or they want a custom and stuff like that. So, yeah, girl, we working.
How do you find balance to do it all?
I don't.
Okay, great. I love honesty. Woo, out the gate, y'all.
I am very much a list person, and I have to stay on top of what I do, because I know that this is a business that requires a lot of my attention. You know, I keep lists. I'm very organized with my interviews, my agendas, stuff like that. Like, I always send my agendas out at least a couple days in advance, so my guests know exactly what's going on. They get a Calendly link, so they know, you know, what time it's at or whatever. But and when I reach out to them, it's in a professional manner. Like, I very much hold professionalism high up on my list before anything else, because I've been in different situations professionally where people have reached out to me, or I've gone on their platforms and it hasn't been professional. And, you know, it's like a mental note. Like, I wouldn't want anyone that is coming on my platform to feel how I felt in these situations. So, you know, I do my best every single time to just get better. And I feel like that's really an important part of having a business, is think about ways that you can be better. Think about ways that you can improve, right? But girl, list, the calendar, anything I can. Memory. I love that.
You know what? When you get to be my big age, get you a project manager, because that is the best thing I've ever done. But you got like 10 years to get to my age, so you're fine. That's so funny to me. I'm like, you do need help, because you are going to keep expanding. Like,
yeah,
you don't have stop on your agenda.
No.
And so buckle up. It's going to get real interesting over the next few years. But I always tell people, once you hit 30, wow, all those little fucks you had left, they just go.
I've heard that a lot recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, where are they? Mm.
Not present.
Mm, not me. Not me. If someone is listening to this and they have been a fan of your work and are like, I want to do that. Like, do folks ever hit you up for that? But also, if they do, what do you say?
I've had people reach out and be like, I've listened to your podcast and it's inspired me to, you know, get into TikTok or, you know, start my own podcast. It means a lot to me because it's like, oh my God, people are actually listening. People are actually paying attention. You know what I mean? But, you know, I always tell people, if you want to start a wrestling podcast, or you want to start a podcast in general, or any idea that you have, try it. You know what I mean? It's better to try it and navigate it and then figure it out, like, hey, this isn't for me, or hey, this is for me. It's better to at least try, because you don't want to look back 10 years from now and be like, damn, I had that good idea when I was 24 and I didn't try it. Now I'm 34. My life is different. I'm married. I have kids. I don't have the time to dedicate like I did when I was 24. Sure. And also, too, just because you are 34 or however old you are does not mean that there's a cap on if you can enter the space. Because I've seen a lot of people who are like, well, you know, I'm not, you know, in my 20s, or I have, you know, a family and I have all these responsibilities. Like, I just don't have the time. And it's like, when something is important to you, you find the time. It's kind of like, it's kind of like when people are like, you know, if somebody tells you, oh, I'm busy, like that, sorry, I didn't get back to you, I'm busy. Like, no one or nothing is ever busy enough for you to where you can't navigate and figure it out. And that's how I feel when it comes to stuff like this, is if you truly want it, if you truly want to have that experience of owning your own business or doing a podcast, doing merch, whatever, you have to put your mind to it. You have to make time for it. You're going to have days where you're tired, but you're like, hey, you know what? I had this idea earlier in the day. Let me just sketch it out. Let me put some stuff together and I'll come back to it when I have more time. At least you're dedicating a portion of your time to building up what you want. That's important in organization, honestly. Like, anything that you're doing that requires more of your attention requires organization. Keep those lists, an agenda, a planner, your phone, and keep it updated. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You have, like you said, unless you have a project manager, it's up to you to put that time and effort in to make sure that you are completely and 100% organized so that you can basically help yourself out in the long run.
Absolutely. If this is the thing you want to do, people are always like, well, I don't know. Well, then I don't know what to tell you. Like, sometimes people are like, well, can you talk me into it? And it's like, no, baby. Mm-mm. This is, do you want to do it or not? That's not
exactly
on me.
Exactly.
Okay. So my last question for you is one of my favorite questions to ask people, because she's newsy. What is the wildest thing someone has texted or DM'd you in the last 2 weeks?
Okay, so you know I'm a voice messenger. So my cousin and I voice message every single day. This is the same one that I took to the wrestling show. So usually our schedules are a little bit different. So like, I'll voice message her in the morning. She'll come back in the afternoon and I might get back to her at night, or it might be the next morning. So usually when she voice messages me back, I'm at work. So I'll respond via text unless it's something really important. Then I'll be like, okay, I need to note this so I can voice her later. The craziest thing she sent me, because technically it was something that she said that I repeated back to her because I could not believe that she said it.
You know, we're here to receive whatever gift you'd like to give us.
Oh, okay. Give me 1 second. Let me scroll up.
Mm-hmm. While you looking, you know, I live in the burbs.
Yes.
The suburbs, because I like peace. But you know who's disturbing my peace quite often? These damn skateboarders. And I have become that lady that's like, I know you are not skateboarding in front of my house. But then I'm like, at least they're, you know, not out robbing nobody or nothing.
So my friend and I were having a conversation about men. And in the voice message, she said, I don't hope for the best for a lot of men. But then she also brought me back to when we went to AEW Dynamite in New Orleans. And I was talking about how I forgot how it happened. But she was like, the guy who was sitting next to us smelled like cat piss the entire time. So she had to remind me of that. And I was like, you said he smelled like cat piss. Like, honestly, and I told her this the other day, I said, there must be a qualification in our family that we have to be funny in order to enter the family. Because some of the stuff that she says, like, I'll listen to it. I'm like, I gotta play that back because that shit was funny. And then she'll get on there after I've sent her something. She was like, I can't with you. And she'll just go on. She's like, why did you say that? And I'm like, it's just our family.
Did he really?
Okay. I don't know. So my cousin, like I said, she will go to the wrestling shows, but she's not like jumping up and down and all of that. She was like very zen that day. She was sitting in our seat. So honestly, I think it was probably him going up and down as to how she smelled it so strong.
The waft.
Yes.
The waft
I think at her. That's what, but I was up and down with him. So I feel like, and I was never like this for too long. So I feel like I never actually smelled it. So I can neither confirm nor deny on my part, but I believe her. Because I've smelled some crazy stuff at wrestling shows, and I've talked about it online before. Like, we need some type of sponsorship with a deodorant company, perfume, cologne, something.
No, like, because no, you got to clean it up because you know what's going to happen. Axe body spray. And so you got to be very clear on what your ask is.
I need you to wash first.
With then a washcloth.
Yes. And you need to wash your feet and your legs too. Just because the water hits down there does not mean it's clean. Speaking of that, I was watching something the other day and this girl was talking about how she hasn't washed her feet. And I was like, I'll be damned. She was like, I mean, I wash the rest of my body. Doesn't the water? And I had never heard a woman say that. I've only heard men say that.
Oh,
shit.
I have. It was, and she's, I seen a girl do it on an interview and on TikTok. And I said, that's crazy. Why did you tell everybody?
Wait,
that?
Did we watch the same one? We might have watched the same one. Yeah.
Nah, I seen her. Yeah. She was wild. And she like doubled down on it.
She did. She did. And I was
audacity.
Like,
audacity. Nasty.
And the comments, they were eating her up, girl.
They ate her up.
But I feel like we need some type of sponsorship for all of the above. Make a little travel kit. Hand them out when we leave the Ooh. Shows. Yes.
No. Not when we leave them. When you get there.
Well, they can't shower when they get there, and they can leave them in their seats, the bathroom, the place where they get their drinks and food. But if they take them when they leave.
Late. We've already experienced the essence.
We can hope that they do it for the next one.
So we're investing in future events.
Unless these companies, once you buy a ticket, which also doesn't help if you buy it on a third party, unless when you buy a ticket from like a Ticketmaster for an AEW WWE show,
like a little mini deodorant,
they mail it to you. They mail you a little travel kit. It's like, before you go, don't forget this.
You know what? Wow. You better listen. That is now a wrestling wind down. No one can have that. Mama's got ideas. And no one can.
It's like a PR package, like before these businesses open and they drop off PR packages to like the news and stuff. That's kind of what the idea is. Like before you go, here's a little treat to get you warmed up for the show. Some deodorant, some body wash, some chapstick. Cologne or perfume, chapstick, toothpaste, toothbrush, mints, anything.
Yeah. Wow. What a gift. You know, hopefully soon that's coming to a mailbox near you. Yes. This has been fun. I knew it was going to be mixed all over. Before we go, and all the above, where can they find you and be all up in your business with boundaries?
Yes. So Wrestling Wind Down, you can listen on anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio. We are on Instagram and Twitter at WWDCAST. If you're into merch, shop.wrestlingwinddownlv.com. And then, yeah, that's it. We also have a YouTube. I'm trying to get into my vlogging era.
Oh, I have seen you. You've been out here eating snacks and stuff.
Yes.
I'm a little vlog. Well, I'll see you in a few weeks.
Yes, you will.
I'll be there.
Excited for it.
Place. All right, y'all. Until next time.